You want to achieve great things? You want to reach the next level? Well, so does every other entrepreneur. You know what that means? You have to take every competitive advantage possible. Welcome to Let's Talk Business, the show where we're going to show you how to create this competitive advantage by being more productive and sharing the secrets of the world's top performers. I'm your host, Kenny Aronson, and I think it's time to get down to business. Today, I am very excited to bring you my conversation with Laura Cho. Laura is an experienced professional with over 10 years of experience in the human resources. She works in this field with Asia Pacific Regional Office while also balancing her venture as a career coach, where she helps millennials to land their dream jobs. I'm excited to learn from her experience today, and I hope you are too. So without any further ado, welcome to the show, Laura. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and thanks for having me here.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. The pleasure is definitely all mine. I very much look forward to our conversation today. I think that there's a ton that I can learn from you, and there's a ton that the audience can also learn from you as well. So for my show, I always start off with a really basic introduction so that the audience can get to know you a little bit better. So Laura, why don't you just start by telling us just a little bit about yourself and what you're up to in the world?
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Laura Cho, and I'm currently based in Hong Kong, working in regional office as a group talent attraction and people development manager. So my background is in education, but after I finished my university, I decided to take on my venture in human resources because I love working with people, and I love to give my service to the people around me. So that's how I started my career last 10 years ago. And last year, I'm fortunate enough to be transferred to Hong Kong group head office. So I am focusing on talent attraction and people development part for 12 countries in Saudi Asia. And on the other hand, I am very passionate sharing my knowledge in human resource, especially on the career topic for millennials. So why I started this last 2 years ago was that I have been interviewing like hundreds of millennials, and I found out that there is a gap in my country. My country is originally from Myanmar. So I found out that there is a gap that I can fill in. So I started my career coaching page where I share about career topics, how to exit interview, how to do the career planning, what you need to prepare for the career development, that sort of things. And I have been featuring in 3 journals in my country and also radio show and seminar. So I'm very excited on this both parts. Yes.
Thank you, Laura. I think that you're doing wonderful things. And it's always, I'm always happy to hear when people are doing things that they really like and they go down a career path they really like. So I'm curious, Laura, can you tell us a little bit more about kind of what drew you into the world of coaching?
Coaching is helping people like getting the best out of them, right? So that's what I love. And whenever I see people get the result through coaching, it gives me satisfaction. So that's something that I cannot buy with money. So that's why I love doing this career coaching.
Okay, wonderful. So what gave you the original idea?
I think the original idea comes from, of course, the career coaching is very new in my country. But when I started thinking about sharing my knowledge, I studied through coaches around the world. And I was like, based on my background, I chose career coaching. Yes.
Okay, very cool. Did you ever consider different types of coachings?
Yes, I do. I think along the way, I will change my coaching to different sorts of coaching type. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. So why don't we just start diving into a little bit of the content of the topic that you coach around, so career. So what do you think the most important qualities in successful careers or entrepreneurial ventures are?
Currently, as a solo entrepreneur myself, I think one thing is you need to be very open-minded. But what I mean is that you need to learn from anywhere and from anyone, because you need to equip with so many skills, not only your subject matter, but also like technical skill, soft skill. There are so many things that I have been learning throughout this year. So I think as an entrepreneur, to have a successful career, you need to have first open-minded, and the second thing is networking skill, and the third thing is personal branding. That's what I believe are the most three important skills that you need to equip yourself with.
Okay, thank you. So can you expand a little bit more on the personal branding skill? What would you recommend for success in that?
Oh my God, this is my favorite topic that I love to talk about it.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, because you know, I have been working on my personal branding since last 3 years ago. But that time I didn't realize that much about what does it mean. But the more I dig into it theoretically and then through experience, the better I know and I love to share about it. So recently, coincidentally, last week, I just finished my personal branding for Career Success online course. And people love it. I was telling that when I launched this call, people questioned me that, who is it for? Who are your target audience? And I was telling that, no, everyone has their own brand. It depends on how you want to see people perceive your brand, right? If you want to have a good personal branding, of course, you have to intentionally build on it.
Okay, thank you very much. So why don't we just start talking a little bit about, you know, people with general careers. So we talked about the entrepreneurial career. What about people who they want to find their dream job? What are the important qualities that you recommend?
Okay. So I have been coaching clients, and one thing I find in common in them is that they don't know what they want. People will be telling you like, I want to get a dream job. But when I ask them that, what is your dream job? And they stop for a while and they are asking me like, I want to do this, I want to do that, but they don't have a clear understanding what they really want, right? And especially these days, there are many opportunities that you can go after. So first thing what I do is to have a clarity what you really want. And then the second thing is you need to know the specific plan, how you try to get your dream job. So having the clarity and then having the specific plan will help you to get your dream job.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And so what are some mistakes that you typically see people make in trying to get their dream job? Are there any more mistakes that you see people make besides the clarity?
The mistake that I found out is that when they know that what they want, right, and they are going after that want, and then they end up being like afraid of not having that kind of job. So one thing I always tell my clients are that never consider yourself not having this job will make you disappointed. Just go to the interview keeping in mind that this is the job that I want, but what if, even if I don't get it, I'm stay fine. So I don't want them to go after the job. I just want them to act naturally and to just get the experience from the interviews.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I found that, you know, in the past as I was going through school, like I would get a lot of anxiety about maybe not getting the job. Yeah. But over time, my perspective has kind of shifted. So normally people, they go into the interviews and they're like, oh, I'm being interviewed. This is scary. But I kind of adopted the mindset that I'm going in to interview the company, like I'm the one interviewing them. What do you think of that perspective, like kind of switching things around?
That's a very good point. Yeah, so people always think that they are going for interview, right? But what I see is that it's a two-way process. You are not going there for interview. You are also there to interview them because it is very important to assess the company or even the boss that you are going to work with. So you need to find out all the information during the interview, what kind of company that you will work for, what kind of people are there in this company, and what kind of boss you will be working with in the future. So it's very important to find out all those information during the interview. And I find that interview is the best time to ask all the questions that you want to know.
Yeah, I totally agree. So why don't I had a question just kind of randomly pop into my mind, and I know this is a little bit off track to what we were talking about a few minutes ago,
okay.
but what are some mistakes that people make with personal branding that you've seen?
I think there are two parts that people always confuse. What I see is that personal branding is something that you want people to see. And another thing is personal brand statement, right? That is something that you will tell people that who you are. So these do need to be consistent.
Okay, so you would say consistency. Do you think that people also do that? Like, do you think that getting a job and going through the interviewing process, do you think that's also a question of personal branding?
Of course. It's that during the interview, yeah. Because once you enter the interview room, people will start judging you. And then it's the time for you to show your personal brand who you are.
Okay, great. So are there any specific recommendations that you would give for people who are looking for their careers right now? Anything more you'd like to add? I'm sure you have a lot you want to add.
That will be non-stop talk. Okay. So I think first thing is clarity for your dream job, what you want to know. And then another important factor that I may add in is that before you find your job, you need to, because personal branding, it takes time. So you need to build up the brand first, and then the brand need to be consistent across all the platform, because people are not just building the brand on their resume. They are building the brand on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter. So Instagram, all those platforms need to be consistent, because the recruiter will be finding you first in the Google, and second will be LinkedIn. So you need to be consistent in all those platforms. They will be seeing you.
Okay, great. So what are some things that people can do to be more consistent with their social media and the stuff that they put out there?
So you need to think about, if you really want to build the brand, let's say, for example, as an influencer, let's say, for example, right? What key message that you are delivering on those platforms? Or if you are the job seeker, then you have to show that what are the key that you want to bring in.
Okay, thank you. That totally makes a lot of sense. Yeah, over the past like 6 months, I've really been experimenting with building my brand. And it wasn't until recently that I really was able to figure out what I wanted my key message to be. And I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's just something that really takes a lot of thought. But I certainly mm-hmm. agree. Yeah, it's definitely all about consistency. So let's say that we have, you know, just someone who wants, they're looking for their dream job. Maybe they want to be an engineer at BP or something such as that. What recommendations would you give to this person? What, like, just to start in finding this job? So we have clarity, we have consistency mm-hmm. with, you know, what you put on social media. Is there anything else that you recommend?
Okay. So what you can do is learn as much as you can about the company. Not only one company. First, you need to filter out what you already have the industry, let's say engineering. Then you need to find out what kind of company that you would like to work for. And then you need to filter out like three company that you would like to work for. And then after that, get as much information as possible on those company, including the management style and then kinds of benefit that they are offering. And then you have to align with your values, whether you can work well with those kind of company, the culture, the people. Then that's how you can have the dream career.
Okay, thank you, Laura. So how would you recommend getting in contact with the people at the, let's say, your dream company?
Wow, now the day is easier than our time when I started my career.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Best platform to get in touch with the people that you would like to work in that company, the people in that company.
Yeah, I found LinkedIn to be super, super helpful, you know, especially for, mm-hmm. you know, finding potential clients to work with and potential customers. That's a great way to just find people to help. And, you know, I got to say that I think LinkedIn it's going to be one of the more important social medias in the future. And a lot of people, unfortunately, they're not using it as correctly as they possibly could. But that's another conversation for another time. But so I'm curious,
yes.
What's the most important? In my country, I
am the one who is advocating a lot to the people to use LinkedIn, and I even thinking to launch LinkedIn online course.
Yeah, I mean, you totally should. It's a huge need, and I don't think people realize just how big it's going to be, because you can specifically look for people in specific careers. You can specifically target them and then connect with these people, and you get in touch with the right people, and it's just something really powerful that you can do. And I would, you know, recommend it to anyone out there. So Laura, I'm curious, what's the most important thing that you've learned in your career?
Okay, it's a very good question.
I figured I would just kind of hit you with a curveball real quick out of nowhere.
You hit in my center. Okay, so there are many things that I want to list down, but one thing, if you ask me, is about mentorship or coaching. Yes, I think to have a successful career, you need to have a good mentor who can guide you, who can support you. Not only one, but also as much as you can, so that you can learn a lot from those people.
Okay, great. Where would you recommend people to find mentors?
It can be everywhere. But one thing I can recommend is at the workplace, if you have someone who you can trust, who you can openly talk to, not necessarily your boss.
Okay, great. What if I'm a solopreneur right now, and you know, I don't have a kind of structured workplace to work? Where would you recommend to find a mentor? I know there's a lot of those out there right now, especially nowadays. Sorry about that.
I think for solo entrepreneur, it depends what type of person that you would like to, let's say, put him or her as a mentor. So first you need to know the type of person that you would like to have to work together with, and then you need to find out in which platform you can find those type of people. Then you can select the best of the best.
Okay, so what have your experiences been with mentors, and what have you learned from them?
I think people always confuse with mentor and coach. For me, mentor is someone who already on that road that you want to go. So they can share their experience, they can share their mistake, and they can share their success. So I have different mentors for different cases in my career, in my coaching, even in my personal life.
Can you give me some specific example, if you don't mind sharing? I'm curious.
Okay, so I have one mentor at my workplace, and he is the one I can say like my ideal person. So he have been going through the career journey that I would like to go through. So he even can crack my career journey, how I should go, what kind of skills that I need to equip with, what kind of people that I should be mingle with or network with. Yeah, so I'm very fortunate enough to have him in my career.
Okay, thank you, Laura. So when I first asked you the question of what's the most important thing you learned, you said that you have a couple of things that you'd like to talk about. Is there anything else that you want to throw into this besides mentorship and coaching?
Another thing is leadership. It doesn't mean that you are following another person, but leadership starts from what I believe is that self-leadership is very important in your career.
Can you expand upon that, the topic of self-leadership?
What I believe is that if you're a good leader for yourself, you will be disciplined enough to do things that you write down in your notebook, and you will execute and to make it happen.
Okay, that makes sense. So, you know, you got to be disciplined. And I can say certainly that if you get into entrepreneurship or just a really good career that you have dreams about, you know, you really got to be self-disciplined. And that's definitely something that I've learned in my experience over the last year. So, you know, I greatly appreciate that. And I certainly agree. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the pot with mentorship and leadership?
Okay, so I think I can talk more about on leadership. So self-leadership, also the discipline is very important. Another thing is you need to be visionary. It is very important for solo entrepreneur like us, because you need to know the trend, what is going on in the industry that you are working on, and you need to have a vision where you want to go, and then you need to plan out for that.
Okay, great. I certainly agree with you, but how do we create that vision? Like, if someone's starting from nothing, what are some tips or kind of steps you can recommend to get a clear vision of what you want?
The easiest way that you can do is learn from the people currently in the industry, especially from those who are very successful in terms of branding, in terms of the business. Then you can see what road they are going after, and then also you can fine tune in your own journey.
Okay, yeah, that totally makes sense. I think that, you know, it's good to really model what you're building, like what I'm doing with my business right now with the sales processes and everything. I'm modeling other people who have already done successful similar things. And I think in entrepreneurship, you can save yourself a lot of time and effort. And also, if you're looking for a career, you save yourself a lot of time and effort if you just model what's successful. And of course, you can give some, you know, more visionary tweaks to change things up and be more innovative. And I do think that's a very important thing to do. So is there anything else that you would like to specifically talk about in terms of, you know, finding your dream career? Is there anything we missed out on that you think is important?
One thing that I would like to emphasize is that when you're going after your dream job, or even if you're already having a dream job, another thing, that the key important thing is you need to enjoy the process, not only the end result. So people always forget to enjoy life, and they only celebrate the result only when they have the result. So I learned the hard way for that. And now whenever I do, I enjoy the process before I getting the result.
Okay, thank you. And so I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there, especially students that I've talked to, that they have no idea what they want to do with their career. If someone that doesn't have any idea what they want with their career, they don't know what their dream job is, what would you recommend to these people?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking to most of the people, and they always tell me the same. So what I ask them is that, of course, it is not easy to know what you want specifically, right? So first thing you need to do is write down all the things that you don't like or you don't want to work as a career. Then after that, you can filter out. Because after you write down all the things that you don't like, then you have some kind of idea that what you want to do.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I think that it's kind of the reverse of what you would expect, but I like that idea of writing down everything that you really don't like, and it helps to give clarity for, you know, what you actually do. Are there any resources that you recommend for helping people to find potential jobs that they would love to do?
Okay, the potential job. Okay, so if you ask me, there are resources out there in these days. But one thing is you need to really need to work on your mindset. Because what I'm saying is that if you have the clear mindset, and you have to imagine that what kind of person you would like to be, let's say 2 to 3 years time, then after that, you need to have a proper plan. And having a plan, it's not enough. Of course, you need to execute it. Then you can see the result.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've always found that having a plan is super helpful. Like when I first started off my stuff, you know, back in the day when I was looking for jobs, I always did it with no plan. And it was sort of the same, but not exactly the same when I started my first entrepreneurial venture. But I've certainly learned a lot over time. And I think this is a good time to just take a quick break. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Da Vinci Mindset Podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to the Da Vinci Mindset Podcast. I've loved the first half of this conversation so far with my friend Laura Cho. We've had an amazing value-packed conversation about finding your career, having clarity about what you want, and being a visionary for how to achieve your dream job or your dream state in life. So in the second half of the conversation, we're going to go to a couple more general topics just to get to know Laura a little bit better and so that we can provide you guys as much value as possible. So Laura, I just want to start off. It might seem kind of like a random question, but I think it's important for especially any solopreneurs out there or anyone who's really trying to make a difference in the world. How do you feel about taking risks and making mistakes in life?
Oh my God, it's very important, not only as a solopreneur, as a person, because if you're not taking risks or you're not making mistakes, you're not doing anything. And the more you do the mistake, the more you learn. Of course, the key thing is you need to learn from every single mistake to do it better.
Yeah, I certainly agree. I've definitely made a lot of mistakes so far, but I think one of the especially over here in the United States, a lot of people, they grow a fear of failure, especially from the school system, because it teaches you that failure is bad. But if you want to be successful, if you want to make a difference in the world and achieve your goals, then failure is important. So Laura, what more can we do to learn from our failures so that we understand that they're not really that bad?
Of course, you cannot avoid failure in life, but what can you do is before you do something or you decided to do something, you need to think. It's go for the same for taking risks. You need to do the you need to take the calculated risk. And for failures, if you think that this is right, and even if you do it and you fail, that's fine. You need to learn from it. So if you learn from your failure, it means you are losing nothing.
I certainly agree. I think every single failure, every single negative experience in life is a learning experience. Even if you think it's not, then you know it's an experience for you to learn. Do you have any examples throughout your life where you've learned from failure that you would like to share?
A lot. Okay. Okay. So as a career coach, I will focus on career topic. For me, at the beginning of my career, of course, I make a lot of mistakes that as a young person, if I don't like the job, I quit the job very easily without having another job. But after some time, I think about it and I learned through that one. And I have to pay for my mistake, but I got a very good lesson from it. And then I can do it better and better years after years.
That's good. That's good to hear. I think that, you know, I've made my fair share of mistakes over the last year when I was starting my entrepreneurial ventures. Is there any other ones that you'd like to share that you think the audience could resonate with?
Okay. So as a solopreneur for 2 years, along the way also, I have so many mistakes. And because when you are studying something, right, you are very eager to learn, very eager to test it out and do so many things. So you lost focus and you have to do this, you have to do that, and end up doing nothing. So that's one thing I learned, that focus is very important and you need to take it very seriously if you want to make things happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, you know, you got to have the right balance of learning this stuff, but you also got to make sure that you take action on it, because I found that knowledge is only potential of power. Would you agree? You have to put it into action.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So one of the things that I've actually found helpful is as I'm learning, like for instance, if I'm reading a book or something, like I have a book over there called Real Estate Riches from the Rich Dad Foundation. So every 30 minutes after reading the book or so, I'm gonna take out a notebook. I'm gonna take a short break. I'm just gonna do a quick summary of what I learned. But I think what the important thing I do is I create a list of 10 potential ideas that apply the stuff that I'm learning into my life. Then I, of course, there's one more step where you actually implement those steps, whether they're into your business or your life. But I found that to be something very helpful that can help anyone out there, and it certainly helped myself. What do you think of that idea?
Oh yeah, I have the same experience. So, one book that I learned about communication skills. So what I do is that there are so many ideas that has given in the book. But what I do is I read one chapter a week and I try to apply it, and then it becomes like my skills later on.
Yeah, exactly. Because you just got to figure out how to translate the knowledge and the information into reality. And I think it's something that's, pretty cool. So I want to steer this conversation. We're talking about some of your experiences and the mistakes that you've made, which have been tremendous learning opportunities. But I want to go back a little bit even further to your start of your HR career. So what exactly drew you into this field?
Wow. Okay. So whenever people ask me that question, the same answer that I give is I started my career accidentally without knowing that HR is.
That's awesome though.
Yeah. So one thing that brought me to this career is that I love to work with people. I love to understand about the people. Then, yeah, I started by that inspiration.
That's good. Yeah, I know that when we first started the conversation, we talked a little bit about that. But why don't you tell us a story of how you accidentally got into the field, if you don't mind sharing?
Oh, yes, I love to. So because my background is I was trained to become a teacher, a secondary school teacher. And after I finished my university, I don't want to do the government job. So I quit that job and then I started applying at the private school. And that school, the interviewer, my ex-boss, found me and he thought that I am more suitable for the international relations department. And yeah, that's how I started my HR career. Yes. Yeah, because I prefer working directly with people than teaching.
Okay, that makes sense. What don't you like about teaching? I'm just curious.
No. It doesn't mean that I don't like teaching, but...
Well, okay, I guess I mean what makes you prefer HR to teaching?
Yes,
well, I guess
yes.
We already talked about that a little bit, but yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, but now I still can apply my education teaching background in my coaching, yes. So... everything you learn is not a waste. Even you think that, oh, I studied this and I am not working on this, but it still can support you at one point of your career life.
Okay, that makes sense. So I guess I one thing I got to do is sometimes I got to make sure that I phrase my questions correctly. But one thing that I'm curious about, what are some of the important things that you learned from your educational education that you can apply in your coaching career? Does that make sense?
Yeah. These two are related. So one thing that I learned from education helped me in my coaching is how to listen to other people.
What do you mean?
I mean, in coaching, right, listening is very important because coaching is not like teaching. Teaching is something that you are always taught, but on the other hand, teaching means you need to understand your students. So you have to listen to them, what they want or what they are, what's their interest, so that you can fine tune how to teach those students. So it's the same for coaching.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Well, I haven't been doing, I got to say I haven't done a ton of coaching, but when I have, worked with people one-on-one to coach them, I've always found that it's better to make sure that the other person is always talking like two times as much as you are. And of course, sometimes like if there are specific techniques or skills that you teach them, that shifts a little bit, but it's an interesting thing. And I think that one of the things with education, I don't know how it is over there, but specifically over here, I think that if the students had the ability to talk more with their teachers, I think that would be, more lasting of an impact on them. What do you think?
Absolutely. Because this day is more student focused. It doesn't need to be the teacher is the one who knows everything because especially millennials these days, they know better than their teacher. So teacher itself, herself or himself always need to be educated and up to date with the trend. If not, they will not be able to influence their student.
Yeah, of course. You really got to make sure that you can work with people, which it sounds like you're definitely amazing at doing, so you don't really need any help in that department. But so I want to shift our conversation a little bit to talk a little bit about the future. So Laura, what are some of your goals for the future?
Okay. My one ultimate goal is to make an impact to the people as many as possible, not only in my country, but also internationally.
How many people do you want to impact? Let's get a number on it.
Yeah, that's very important. You know, we always say like, I want to be rich, but you don't know 1 million or 1 billion. Okay, let's say within 3 years time, I want to make an impact on 10,000 people.
Okay, that's pretty reasonable. So
yeah.
I'm curious, what are some important things that you're doing to help yourself reach that goal?
Okay. So coaching is more on one-on-one, right? So these days, what I'm doing is that I want to make an impact to many people. So one thing I'm doing is sharing my ideas on different platforms so that people can learn from my experience, my knowledge. And another thing I'm doing is that I'm running the online courses. So that's yes. And whenever I have time or I have the opportunity, something like that, now I'm sharing on your podcast so that when people listen to our conversation, at least they will learn something from it. So that's how I am visioning myself to make an impact on the people.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I would say that if anyone's listening to our podcast and our conversation right now, I would certainly say that they're definitely learning something, because I definitely am. And I want to touch on one of the things that you just spoke about, and that's the online courses that you're creating. What platform are you using to make these courses?
I have my own website, www.laurachointernational.com, but currently I'm just running my courses on Facebook, but later on I will, because people always, my student always request me, like, because your course is like 1 month or 2 weeks, it's very short for us, we enjoy learning from you. So I was thinking to shift my platform to my own website so that they can have access all the time.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I haven't had any experience with making courses on Facebook. What has your experience with that been?
Of course, you need to build your brand first, and you need to get the trust from the people. Only then people see that you are an subject matter expert, then they will learn from you.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Have you done any webinars or anything such as that to, you know, really provide value to people so that you can build that trust?
So I have a Sunday live chat that I call Sunday live chat. So every Sunday I share one topic, mostly what I think it's useful for their career, or sometimes I ask my audience what they would like to listen. So even today I run one live chat on problem solving skill, how to improve your problem solving skills.
Okay, that's a great way to do it. I think that one of the problems that I see a lot of people do is they make these, you know, whether they're presentations or live streams, you know, and they're just kind of random, you know, there's no real thought into them. And I really like what you're doing, where you're thinking about your audience and you're figuring out, what do they want most? What do they need most?
Yeah.
What can I help them with the most? But
yes,
so, you know, there's also the people who aren't in your audience yet that might need even more help. So what are some things that we can start doing to get more people coming into our audience?
You mean in what way?
So let's say that you have a Facebook group, or you just have a YouTube community, or my podcast community, for instance. Mm-hmm. What can we do to grow these communities?
Okay. So one thing what I'm doing is that I recently launched my Instagram. So there are some platforms that people already knows me. What I do is that I link my Instagram to those platforms that people know me, who I am. And that's how I started building my audience. And after that, I whenever I have like networking event, I always tell people that you can reach out to me in this and this platform so that we can always get in touch. That's how I market my platforms.
Okay, great. Do you have any tips for getting the most out of networking events?
The mistake that I make and that I learned from my mistake is that whenever we go to networking event, our intention is to make to network with many people as possible, right? But nowadays I change my approach. I just think about my intention first. what is the event is all about and what kind of people that I would like to network and who are the people that I will be networking in that event, even if it is only one person.
Okay, I like that approach. I think that's a really good way to do it. So how important do you think networking events are for entrepreneurs?
It's very important. You cannot do your business alone. So even though these days there are so many marketing strategy out there, but word of mouth is still very important. People will buy from the people that they already get the recommendation from their friends or their family members. So you still need to rely on other people to talk good things about you.
Okay, yeah, that totally makes sense. I can say that I think that, you know, networking is really one of the things that I've been trying to expand on recently, especially with, I found it really helpful to do these podcasts and join a lot of different groups. But, you know, I also got to kind of expand my horizon. So go to bigger networking events. And I think there's a lot of great opportunities out there to do that. And speaking of opportunities, Laura, I'm curious, what are some exciting opportunities that you see out there in the world today?
In terms of solopreneur,
I say it could be that or in terms of anything.
Okay.
Anything you want to talk about.
Okay. So these days the opportunities are easy to grab, but as a human nature, right, we are very greedy. Whenever we see opportunity, we want to grab it. But recently what I learned is that you need to know your values first. Even though the opportunity is very shiny and very lucrative for you, first you need to think whether this opportunity can align with your value. If not, you better let it go.
Okay, that makes sense. Do you have any specific examples of opportunities that don't typically align with people's values?
From my experience, let's say I am now talking about career, and because people start knowing me and they invited to their events, but I look at the organization value and how they are running and how they are influencing people and how they are making impact. But I see like they are using people to make a business, then I will not work with them.
Okay, yeah, that totally makes sense. I think that, yeah, I definitely see a lot of that around the world, you know, with online and real life events. You gotta be careful. But I think that, you know, the far majority of people and organizations, they're good people or good entities. And I think they, but of course you do have to be careful. Are there any other exciting opportunities that you see out there? Any specific ones?
Specific one. I think compared to many years back, right? Either you are in your career or like you're studying your entrepreneur journey. There are so many resources that you can get for free, and there are so many platforms that you can make your names easily.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's so much accessibility. Communication is so easy. And I think one of the most exciting to me, you know, personally, is just the accessibility of education nowadays. You can pretty much learn anything for free. And yes, I think that's one of the things that has made, you know, entrepreneurship nowadays a lot easier to get into. Is there's just so many learning resources out there. And of course, it's still a challenge. You got to put a lot of thought into it and you got to learn a lot. But I think it's a very exciting time to be alive. So Laura, I'm curious, where do you see the future going?
Future going? okay. I see people in terms of trend, right? Mobile will be still, right? These days we are very influenced by our mobile. And what I feel recently is that later on, everything will be on mobile. And even the online courses and everything. Later on, I think you may even need to create your own app instead of building your website.
I could certainly see that. So, you know, for someone like me or you who were making online courses and things such as that, do you think it's important for them to be very optimized for the mobile platform?
Yes. Yeah, I do think so.
Yeah, I'd have to say that I certainly agree with that. And I think that for a lot of information product creators out there, like ourselves, that's something that not a lot of people are taking into consideration, but more and more things are going to the mobile space. And I think it'll be interesting to see how, like you just said, application development, you know, I think that's going to be big as well. I certainly agree with that. And it might even, you know, replace a lot of the websites that are around today. Are there, do you have any experience or thoughts about making your own applications?
No, I just got an idea when I answered your question.
Yeah, I was just curious. I didn't know what your thoughts were. I don't have too much experience with mobile app development, but I think
not yet. But yeah, I think if you ask me, maybe later on I will create my own app on how to find a good coach on that platform, and yeah, maybe more on coaching.
That'll be awesome. Yeah, if you make your app, I'll totally check it out. But I think that, you know, how
sure, I will let you know.
Awesome. Yeah, but I think that it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they're for building websites. We have WordPress and things such as that, a lot of these content management systems. I think something similar will happen for a mobile application development. And I think that'll be an interesting opportunity, and we'll just have to kind of wait for that to pop up, or maybe it already has popped up. Maybe we just don't know exactly what the name of it is yet. So I think that's an interesting thing to look into. So if anyone listening to this right now knows of a really good content management system or application builder, you go ahead and let us know, and we'll certainly look into it. But I think that the future, it definitely looks exciting, and everything it looks like is going to mobile. But I think we'll, like, it's hard to predict, you know, exactly what's going to happen, because there's so many possibilities. Because I bet that, you know, 20 years ago, there's no way anyone would have predicted like what we have right now, you know, as such a difficult thing to predict. So, and I think that's kind of what's so exciting about it. What do you think?
Yeah. What we are using nowadays, last, if you ask me, like 30 or 40 years ago, even if you have an idea, people would tell you that this is impossible. But all those things that we are using now come from impossible idea.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think great things in the world, especially for like the things that we're doing, it starts from what people would deem an impossible vision. But, you know, looking at what other people have accomplished, you know, you have to realize that pretty much nothing is impossible, as long as it's within the realm of reality, of course. Like, you're not going to, you know, do something really crazy, like build a spaceship that's as big as the sun or just something. I don't know why that came to my mind for something that's impossible, but yeah, I think that there's just so many opportunities out there in the world, and you just have to go out there and take them. Do you have any recommendations for just going out there and getting things done?
One thing that we are focusing a lot on our conversation is planning. You need to start, you need to have a proper plan, because this, especially nowadays, right now is a year end and people are very excited to do New Year resolution, and after a week they will forget.
That's exactly what happens.
So first you need to make a plan which you can actually execute. Don't make a very grand plan that you cannot execute.
I totally agree. And I think that, you know, it is good to set really big goals, but, you know, you got to make sure that it's reasonable. And then, you know, how do you climb a mountain? You know, you take it one step at a time. So if you have a huge goal, you got to divide it into smaller steps. And that's kind of what I did for my training program that I created. Like, I'm just in the beginning processes of, you know, trying to sell it and get it out there. And my end goal for the next year is to get at least 250 sales a month. So I kind of divided that down into, you know, 5, 10, 20, 30, 50, then 75, so on and so on. And I think that's an important thing to do, because it's also...
I totally agree. Yeah, you need to have a milestone along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, it's a good psychological factor, because if you give yourself like little rewards for these milestones and you come up with a plan to achieve them, like for instance, for the 20 mark of selling 20 copies of it, I have a personal goal of getting a new suit. So it's something that I want, and it's something that could potentially benefit my personal brand. So I think it's good to have, you know, rewards along the way of things that you want for your really big goals, because it'll keep you motivated and it will keep you on track. And I really do think the topic of planning is super important. So I appreciate that answer. And I think it was great that we got to talk about. So Laura, is there anything specifically that you want to cover in this podcast as we start to reach the end of our conversation?
Okay. So I just would like to summarize what we talk about now. And I just want to give the key message to the audience that listening to this podcast. One thing in life, whatever you do, you need to have a clarity first. And the second thing, you need to work on your mindset. And the third one is proper plan. And the most important one is execution. And the last one, but not least, enjoying the process, not the end result.
Okay, thank you. I totally love that. I think that, you know, a lot of people think that that happiness comes when they reach the goal. But yeah. What happens after that? You know, it's a temporary thing. So I love what you're talking about, where you're enjoying the process. So, you know, as I usually close out the show, I usually ask my guests to leave the audience with one piece of actionable advice, but I think you kind of just did that. But is there anything else that you'd like to throw in there?
One thing, if you ask me to give the advice to the audience, is that never give up. There is a silver lining in everything you do. So just be happy in your life and just focus on what you want to achieve.
Okay, thank you, Laura. I think that's very motivational. I think that, you know, it's important to keep that in mind because, you know, as you go through your life, your life journey, whatever you want to call it, you're going to have bad days, you're going to have mistakes, you're going to have, you know, quote, failures. And every single one of these, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it shows that you're making progress towards your goal. And there's always an amazing opportunity to learn. So thank you for that, Laura. And I want to thank you again for coming on my show today. I think that we had a powerful conversation that's going to help a lot of people. So thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to share all my experiences and knowledge. And thanks for having me on this podcast. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Laura. The pleasure is all mine to have you on the show today. So Laura, if the audience wants to learn more about you, learn more about what you're doing, or maybe even get in contact with you for your coaching services, where could they do so at?
You can contact me at www.laurachounternational.com, or you can also find me on LinkedIn with Laura Chou name.
Okay, thank you, Laura. I appreciate that. So to the listeners out there, as I write this down on the paper without messing it up, I will make sure that I put the links to Laura's website and her LinkedIn profile in the description below. If you have any questions for either me or Laura Chou, please make sure to reach out to us and we will get these questions answered immediately. I think that we had a very great conversation today about career, about vision, about planning, about all these different things. And I hope that you enjoyed the conversation as well. It was a great learning opportunity. And once again, I just want to thank you for coming on the show today, Laura. I learned a ton from you. I appreciate it.
Same. Thank you. Yeah, I really enjoy our conversation.
Hey, I'm very happy to hear that. I think it was a great interview. So to everyone listening right now, I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode of the Da Vinci Mindset Podcast. I hope you learned as much as and even more than I did in this episode today. And until next time, we'll catch you on the next episode of the Da Vinci Mindset Podcast.